Well, good morning, saints of God. Happy Monday morning, a brand new week. And we are in week three in dealing with the subject about application of the kingdom of God. And before we get started in our lesson this morning, let's go ahead and make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And again, I want to say good morning to you. Welcome to a brand new week of Grace Online Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group at the conclusion of this lesson. And so as we continue to study along these lines about application of the kingdom of God, because that's what we're doing. We are sharing with you application of how to go about walking in the kingdom of God. Okay, we know that Jesus came to establish a new kingdom, but that, you know, most were, especially the Jews, were looking for a physical place when Jesus came to establish a spiritual way of living, a spiritual way of, to me, it would be the original way God intended, because everything that God has done to the point of bringing us to our new identity, it is to bring us back to Genesis 1 and 2, how to live out by faith. And so the part that we have to learn to do is to renew our mind to these laws that God, how he created the heavens and the earth, and we would get the same manifestation that even Jesus had gotten up on the earth and the other disciples as well. So all this week we're going to put emphasis upon how the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. So in other words, when we think about the word violent, we're thinking about a word, you're thinking about overpowering force. So we're going to have to use an overpowering force. The overpowering force that we're using is over the works of darkness that come to steal the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. So what is one of the verses of scripture that we can use this week as a mean of opening up? In 1 John chapter 5, let's look at that for a moment. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 4, 1 John 5. And notice this, it said, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And so that's what we, you know, see, we have the kingdom of God that has overpowered the kingdom of darkness, but it must be taken by force, not in a physical mean, but in a mean of understanding the spiritual authority that we have as a believer. Amen. And so there's a spiritual warfare that we all engage in, but that spiritual warfare is dealing with principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness that Adam, the first Adam, opened himself up to and gave dominion to the works of the enemy, so that whereby it make us feel the belief in the natural that we cannot do anything about it. But now that we are born again, and Jesus has reinstated everything that the first Adam lost, he has put it back in place for you and I as the righteous of God. But we have to go about doing what, having understanding that the victory we have is the victory that overcomes the world, and it is by faith. So the victory that we're talking about in 1 John 5, 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world. What? It is our faith. So it is your faith that has to be put in place where you're going to overpower the force of darkness. Amen. In other words, there's another verse of scripture say that in the 1 Timothy 6, it talks about we fighting the good fight of faith. Okay. The good fight of faith is this. It's what? It's that we've already won. So the good fight of faith is that I'm fighting from a position of victory, protecting my health, protecting my prosperity, protecting my joy, my family, my peace. Amen. And so, but we live in a physical world as well as an unseen world where the enemy dwells, where the Spirit of God dwells. And there's a fight that's always going on for your and my attention. And so the Word of God is established in how we ought to believe and what we, and the stance we ought to take. But then we also have our own unrenewed mind, worldview of how from day one of our physical birth up to where we are now, we have our thoughts, we have our ways, we have our ideas. Some are good and some are bad. And the only way that I'm going to be able to understand God's laws and be able to overpower the works of the enemy, which was stolen from me in my own personal life, I'm able to take a stand on God's word and everything that was stolen from me because of my own ignorance, because of my own misapplication of the word, understanding of these truths, I'm able to take back. It's never too late that you cannot take back what the enemy has stolen. Because notice this, it's in a spiritual implication here. And one of the things I want you to look at, if you go into, now the scripture we're using the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violence take it by force, it's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. But I want you to go with me this morning and look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because if we're going to take back that which the enemy has stolen from us, and we say that that word violent means that we are overpowered what a spiritual force. It's an overpowering spiritual force that you and I have. And notice this, it's Christ in us. In other words, it's that new life, that new identity, that new way of speaking that's living inside of us. And he's the one that's done what? That's already overcame the works of the devil. Jesus has already what? Spoiled principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness and brought what? To naught. Amen. We didn't do it. He did. But because he lives in us and we live in him, then guess what? It's given us the credit as though we did it because he did it in the same likeness of sinful flesh without sin. And so the victory that we have, that's why I said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. See, we made a decision to be born again of the Spirit, of the Word of God. We said we are born again, but we're born again to walk in this new identity. Okay? This new identity has a redemption to it. Redemption means that we lived under the force of darkness. We were subject to the law of sin and death, to anger, to fear, to pain, to sorrow, to grief, into all manner of evil. Well, this new identity that we have that is in Christ, it is knowing this. We said, we make the confession that I am the redeemed of the Lord. So the word redeemed means, again, our attempt to make this Greek word known, agazron, which means we were held on the slave market. We were all held on a slave market called sin. So we were all slaves to sin. It doesn't make a difference what your color, your nationality, don't make a difference what type of family background you come out of, how smart it was, how dumb it was. None of that matters in the flesh. What matters here is something that is more of a hidden force that can't be seen with the natural eye, but you have to have perception. Your spiritual eye through the truth of God's word give you a perception of how we were victimized and why we are held hostage and why we live life the way we do in certain, you know, when it comes to certain things. And so here, what we want you to see here this morning is that as you open up and recognize in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, again, this redemption that we're speaking of, first of all, again, we were all slaves to sin. Remember, it doesn't matter the color of your age, the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the nationality you come from, what part of the country. Every human being from the point of Adam after Adam's high treason that he committed before God, all humanity was now enslaved to the works of darkness. Okay? And that enslavement came through, you know, hate. You know, like you got nationalities that hate Jews. Well, you got black and white hate. You got hate in your own black on black, white on white. You got hate in the female race. You got hate in the male race. You know, you got hate in every facet there is. So it's just not black and white. It's not just Jews and Protestants or whatever. No, it's hate all over. Why? Because it's a device that Satan, that Adam gave up. He lost control when he ate of that tree that gave the knowledge of good and evil. And what the enemy has done has taken control. And this is how he can use control and use the way, the word that we understand, manipulative, to manipulate and to control a person's mindset through words. Okay? And that's what the enemy does. He uses your mindset, he uses my mindset, if he could, to do what? To control, to manipulate. God uses your mindset also to establish his truth. So you and I, as Romans 6:16 says, know ye not therefore to whom you yield yourself servant. His servant you become, to whom you will obey, either sin unto death or obedient unto righteousness. So I make the decision to whom I will yield myself servant to. You make the decision to whom you will yield yourself servant to. Now, you're still a believer, but you could be bound in your mindset. You could be bound with an unrenewed mind. Because why? You lack perception. You lack understanding. The second Greek word for the word redemption is exagazo, meaning this, there was a ransom made for your freedom. Okay? The ransom that had to be made was not money, was not anything material. The ransom that was made was someone's life, spirit, soul, and body. They had to give it all up if you and I was going to be redeemed back into that place with God for proper fellowship and to have the authority on the earth that God originally gave to us through the first Adam. If we were to retain that, then someone without fault, without sin, without failure, has to come and present himself as a living sacrifice. That means on the purpose, they had to deliver themselves up, knowing what they had to go through for our freedom, for our redemption. And that was God himself becoming a man. Without his glory, without his deity, he was still God, but without his glory. And he had to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit that we have today, the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we have today, to do what? To empower him, to strengthen him, to do what? To know the ways of his Father. Well, if we're going to know the ways of our Father, if we're going to understand that we are joint heir with Jesus Christ, then guess what? We too. Are you following what I'm saying? Going to have an understanding that our redemption is threefold. So the first part of that redemption is what? We were all sold on the market called of sin. We were all slaves to sin. Regardless of your race, regardless of your nationality, your background, we were all. And through that, we, the enemy, because like I say, Adam lost control. So through that, then we began to do what? Point fingers at each other. we begin to demonize or scrutinize or however you want to call it, begin to come against one another because of a person, the color of a person's skin, like they had something to do with it. And that's all over the world. And Satan uses that same old memorandum right now to do what? To create division, to create hate. He uses the same device. He don't have no new devices. And this is why I said the kingdom of God, if you're going to walk in the kingdom of God as a believer, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. In other words, you're going to have to take back what is rightfully ours through the blood of Christ, breaking down walls of tradition, breaking down walls of containment, whatever the mindset you and I was, even as a believer today, that you find yourself submersed in, you're going to have to, on your own, through the word of God, to first of all understand that the ransom that was made, the second word for this word redemption, the ransom that was made, Jesus, God becoming a man, gave himself up spirit, soul, and body so that you and I, spirit, soul, and body, could have this freedom, could walk in this redemption. And that's why that righteousness that you and I have obtained, it's not based on anything that we have done. But it is based on what God has done for us, but our redemption, our righteousness come through Christ Jesus. So you see, that righteousness that you have, that right standing whose you are, it is the, I call it the trump card. The trump card that give you the ability to do what? To function as the, you know, as a kingdom-minded person, to call those things that be not as though they were. So the ransom that was made, it was his life. It was his life. Are you following what I'm saying? And so when you look at the redemption, when you look at the crucifixion of what Jesus actually went through in the garden, all the way to his spirit itself was placed in hell, the place of prison. Not Jesus' body, his spirit. Because you got to understand, Adam gave up that right. So spiritual death entered into man. And that spiritual death, Jesus had to die physically and die spiritually. He had to first die spiritually before he was able to die physically. Because without him becoming the sin substitute, he couldn't die physically, no matter what they did to his body. Because there was no guile in him. There was no sin in him. He never had no sin. He became sin. Okay? For the Father. Because he loved the Father. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He became that to honor his Father. That was the Father's request so that you and I could have this day, that I could be speaking in this day, in this generation, to my generation of people, to do what? To set, to know that the captive's been set free. And how many generations of people before me have been teaching the same thing? But because we have a new generation of people always coming about, I believe that we probably will be that last generation of people that understand this redemption that we have that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? But even if I don't, even if we are not, then there'll be someone else raised up for their generation to do what? To teach the same gospel of Jesus Christ until he returned. And so the point of this, and the third Greek word of that word redemption is lutu. And again, I'm not saying I'm pronouncing these words correctly. You know, I know it's L-U-T-R-O-O, lutu. And I believe this word right here means that you have been totally released. You have been freed from the hand of the enemy. So the first part of that Greek word was what? We were all sold under sin. We were all made slaves to sin. Number two, the ransom was made for our freedom from being slaves to sin in our thought life, in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. Number three, you have been free from it. And that's what, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, then notice this, righteousness was made unto you through the confession of your mouth and the belief of your heart. You and I became righteous through our confession. And so the same way that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, now Colossians 2:6 said, walk ye in him. In other words, it's the same way that you obtain every bit of the freedom that Christ have already died for you and I to have. But it's going to come by faith. It's going to come by force. Because why? You and I have already been victims of our past, and you could still be victims in your mindset, not allowing these spiritual truths to penetrate. Why? Because of tradition, sometimes because of unbelief, because of religion, sometimes because of being legalistical, being legalist in our mindset. If I don't do this, this won't happen. And so you put all the burden on you to perform your salvation, which as is not. The burden of the proof of our freedom came through Jesus Christ. We are partakers of this anointing. So if you're going to walk in that freedom, if you're going to be able to overpower the works of the enemy and take back by force what is rightfully ours, then guess what? This is where we're going to be right here. So you're right here with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice here in verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So this is the first thing you're going to have to recognize, that when you have an assault that comes against you in the flesh, you're going to have to recognize that you cannot fight words or thoughts with a thought, or you cannot use fleshly carnal manners to do what? To defend yourself. Because that's what the enemy, that's where he lives. He wants to use you and I to do what? To fight from the flesh. Not physically speaking, we say from the flesh, from what? The ideology of what, how life are, through the philosophy of how life was made unto us. You'd be surprised the junk you still got in your thought life until you're touched in that manner. Or you understand what I'm saying? And when you are touched in a manner that whereas it will bring up, it will cause you to become put on edge. It'll come cause you to become defensive. Or what? That's your time to pull that thought down. That's your time to capture that thought. Or you understand? Because you don't know all what's still alive inside of your mindset, that unrenewed mindset. Because why? It's not born again. It doesn't have the life of Christ in it like you have in your spirit. Even though it's been paid and it's been bought for, when you leave here, you know, I mean, Ephesians 1:14 tells you that not only just verse 13 says your spirit is sealed, but the payment for your soul and your body has been made. It has been paid for also. But you have to renew the mind. And therefore, to renew your mind means you're going to have to demolish some thoughts, demolish some behaviors, demolish some ways you've been taught. You're going to have to be the one to do that. Maybe it's your great-grandparent is still something in you, and it was passed on down from generation to generation until it got to you, and you find yourself, you know, leaning toward those ways, you know, making a stand. But you, because you're growing in this grace, and if you're going to be able to overpower the works of darkness and take by force what is rightfully yours, you're going to have to first cast down thoughts. You're going to have to recognize that you cannot fight this in the flesh. You're going to have to, second of all, recognize that just because this was something that was in your family and it's a trait, and you know, and there's just nothing that you can do about it, nope, that's wrong. That's the purpose of the new identity. See, that new identity means I die to me. See? Not your flesh per se this part of you. That part of you that died was your spirit that caused you and I to live in hate. You know, we didn't do hate. We weren't hateful because we were just, no, we were hateful because it was a part of our nature. You had the nature of the devil. I had the nature of the devil. But now that we are born again, we have the nature of God's love. But you have to apply that love. You have to allow that love, like a water spigot open, you have to allow that love to flow forth into your soul so that the soulless part of you can do what? Can have the same identity, can have the same light that your spirit had, and it can function in the same way that your spirit, which is born of God. It's not automatic in your soul, in your body. Your heart, which is part of your soul, your heart, it will fight you. It will rebel. Because why? It's not the life that it was conceived in. It wants to function in the way how it was raised, in the way of all the aspect of life that it was engaged in from the time of your birth until where you are now. And some people are so ironic that they're saying, look, I live my life this way all my life and I'm not about to change. And if nobody, whoever don't like it, then so be it. See, that's the wrong attitude. That person is on their way to making life more hell for them. They're already miserable just by the statement that they made. And so here, and it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, see, the weapons we use as the righteous of our warfare is not carnal. But it is mighty through God to what? To the pulling down of stronghold. You never stop pulling down stronghold. Why? Because you live in a physical body. You live in a physical realm. And I don't care how much you have prayed, how much you have sit before God in his word, and how great that the attitude, I mean, the how great the atmosphere was when you were worshiping God. That's one thing. But the moment you come out of that atmosphere, someone at work could attack you. A neighbor wants to attack you. Or whatever. Someone in the grocery store. Maybe you're driving down the highway. Someone wants to assault you. And notice this. It's not affecting your spirit, but it will affect your soul. How you, your perception, how you see things. And if you're not mindful of the strategy of the enemy, you'll get in that place. You get in that place with that road rage, you could possibly lose your life, and you were not guilty, but you could lose your life because you didn't properly discern. Are you following what I'm saying? Or you can take someone's life because you did not discern what was going on. See, it wasn't affecting your spirit. But the soulless part of you, because it was, again, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. You're going to have to take what God has already wrought for you and I through Christ Jesus. You better take it by force because the enemy is not letting go. Your tradition of how you were raised is not going to let go. Whatever pain that you have experienced, whatever sorrow you have gone through, is not going to let you go. Like ripe cherries fall off a tree. You're going to have to fight for your freedom. You have to fight for your stand on the word of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Whether I be black, whether I be white, whether I be Jew, whether I be Protestant, whether I be an Asian, you know, whether I be, you know, whatever nationality, you can't change that. That is overrated anyway. That's what the enemy uses to do what? To victim, to put us all, to make us all victim. And you become victimized of something that you can't even change. The life is not in the color of a person's skin. The life is in the blood of Jesus. It's inward. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? I made this statement many times before. But I've had people that sit in my in my ministry, sit in my church, that they were racist. And the guy came out and told me he was. And the only reason why, he said, well, why would he would come there? The only reason why he came, because the guy that he was working for, he would, that his qualification was, if you work for me, you have to come to church. Now, he being a white guy, and he belonged to my church, and he had to bring these guys, whether we black or white, it didn't make a difference. He brought them to church. That was the that was the qualification. And I was teaching along this line. I'm not knowing anything now. I don't know anything. I'm just teaching along this line about identity. And I got his attention with this about, if I'm being a black person in body, and I use him as an example, not knowing what's going on through his head, and this young man being a white guy in his body, and if he needed a blood transfusion, and if his blood type was O positive like mine, then guess what? I could give, they could take blood from this black body and take it and put this blood into this white body, which would be this young man. And I said, notice this. Not only would he live, but he will remain the same color. You see how the enemy play tricks with our mind? If you're not careful, the mind games, the devices, the schemes, the deception that Satan uses to trap, to bait us, it's all in the flesh. It's all what you could see. And then he uses that which you see and that which you, your past experiences. And then you put your, you know, you begin to put everything on your shoulder. Then you show that you got this chip on your shoulder from this hurt, from this pain, from this. You got to let all that go. You got to let all that go. Because we as believers, the only life that we celebrate, it's the life of Christ, the one who laid his life down for me. I'm going to get right back here to 2 Corinthians 10. But I gave this guy this other verse of scripture in the book of Galatians. And when I told him that, you know, not only that he will live and be the same color, that guy broke down and cried. Why? Because he never heard no one taught him or taught the word of God in that light. He never heard that. So you see, when you hold grudges or you allow the enemy, remember we're talking about application of the kingdom. And when you allow the enemy to hold you hostage of a past event, a past thought, a past incident or whatever, and you don't renew your mind with the word of God, then guess what? Again, the kingdom of God suffered violence. In other words, if you know that you have, this is wrong for you to think in this light, it's wrong for you to walk in this light, you got that empowerment that you have by the word of God, you have to take it by force. It's not going to just happen because you're a believer. You have to actually put your mouth on these scriptures. And this other verse of scripture I gave him, which is in Galatians, now I have to close with this in Galatians chapter 2. And notice here in verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. That means you've been put to death. So the life that I now live, I don't have no other life. And this is a way that you have to think, because your natural mind will keep you in the flesh, and it'll keep you pointing fingers, and it'll keep you giving bad vibes, sending bad vibes. How do you know that God did not raise you up for such a time as this to rescue that person from day whatever is going on in their life? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Love cannot be defeated. Love cannot be defeated. Notice this. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. See, it's not I that live. So I don't have a conversation. I don't even have an opinion. I don't even have a voice. You understand what I mean by these points? Because the life that, notice what he said here. The life, he said, but Christ liveth in me. Can you see Christ speaking hate? Can you see Christ being divisive? Can you see Christ being rude? No. Remember, he didn't have to come down here and do what he did, but because it was the will of the Father for you and I to get back to Genesis 1 and 2 so that the Father could fellowship with us without any of these crazy things that I've been speaking of. But it's going to take a demolishing of thoughts. It's going to take a demolishing of pulling down strongholds that had held us captive. Because we wouldn't let no one go there in your thought life. You kept that hurt. You protected that hurt. You kept it in the back of your mind. You say, I'm not going to ever let nobody get that close to me again. I'm not going to ever let this or that or blah, blah, blah. And when something appears as it's getting close to you again, or the same scenario is popping up again, you're going to come out like a rattlesnake and want to bite somebody or take their head off, because I'm not going to let this person be this way to me. They may have done this to this person, but it's not going to happen to me. And I'm telling you, when you have that mindset, that means because you've already been offended, but you allow that offense to turn into a root of bitterness. And now you're going to birth a baby of what? Of being divisive. You're going to birth a baby that will become obsessed with being the victim. And everyone around you, you will cause them to think in the same light. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the trickery of the enemy is nothing new. He used the same old strategy because he has nothing new. But we as people, and especially those in the body of Christ, keep falling for the same trap. You have to make your mind up, renew your mind with the word of God, and understand that the life that you now live as a believer, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ what liveth in me. So when I open my mouth, even to this day, even as I'm speaking to you, when I open my mouth, I want to make sure I'm honoring the life of Christ that's in me. Not my own personal agenda, not where I've been, not how this was taken advantage of. You know, we could all cry wolf of how we were taken advantage of, but how many people and situations we have taken advantage of, but we don't look at that. You see how the enemy loves for you to play the victim? And if you're not mindful, again, that root of bitterness can turn, and that root of bitterness the baby that you birthed, out of that root of bitterness, it will become called victim. And you don't understand, when you make yourself the victim, you'll start justifying every stance that you take. Why you did this, why this belonged to me, why I don't have to do this. And before you know it, you're spun out of control. I want to help you today. And all this week, as we continue to talk about the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence suffered by taken by force. So the application here is for you, and what we're talking about is you renewing your mind, taking back your thought, taking back your mindset, and making your mind become the mind of Christ. You become one with Christ's mindset. My old mindset don't matter. I don't care. Yeah, I may have said I'm going to get even with this person. I may have said that I'm going to always keep a mental thought of this person or this or that. No, I'm not. You have to repent, and you say, Father, I repent of that. Father, I turn that loose to you. I am the life that I now live. Use Galatians 2. The life that I now live, Father, I live. Notice this, by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, forgive me for holding that grudge against my husband or maybe my ex-spouse. Forgive me for holding that grudge against my ex-worker or whoever it may be. For some of you people are dead. They're gone in their grave and you still holding on to something and can't move forward. You are captured. And the enemy is on the road. Notice this, the device that it said, the word, one of the word device is talking about he's on the road. On the road of what? On the road playing mind games with you and I, whoever opened that door. And as long as that door is open as a revolving door, he will continue until you take yourself out. And I'm here as a witness for Christ. Want you to change your thought. Are you following me? And so as I close with this again, and you know, again, we said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but the life I now live where? In the flesh. So everything that is about me should be about what? Should be about the life of Christ, of whom I say I made the Lord of my life. Well, I should allow that life that was raised from the dead demonstrate, illustrate, manifest himself through this physical body. Because I'm made alive in this body to glorify God. If I had a glorified body, it would just automatic. But as an act of my will and through the renewing of my mind, I put myself right now by faith. Don't make a difference what I experienced. Don't make a difference how it came. Don't make a difference whether it was my fault or the other person's fault. Sometimes we have more grace and mercy to forgive others, but you never forgave yourself. And I think that's what the Lord is trying to say to somebody listening, or maybe will be, you hadn't forgiven yourself. You still hold yourself as the victim. And every time it comes up, you go down into a place of oppression. That's a spirit that wants to hold you captive. So by the power of God that's invested in me, I break that power of control over your mind right now. And in the name of Jesus, I declare you free by the power of God that's invested in me. Now you have to do your part and say, I no longer will accept this thought in my mind again. When this thought come to me, you're going to have to be the one to do what? To cast it out. Look, I hate to give you this gross illustration, but this, this going to stick with you. When you say cast, it's just like going to the bathroom. When you have to do the number two, you know what I'm talking about, right? When you have to poop. You don't let it sit there, do you? You don't just get off and just let it sit and open the door. What's it going to do? After a while, what's it going to do? It's going to fumigate wherever part of the house it could. And if it sit there long enough, it will start to really stink. Well, that's what the enemy uses our thought life. If you don't cast, that's what that word cast means. It means to flush. So that the what is in there and the smell, it will leave. Well, in order for you to flush, to cast that thought down in your mind, you have to flush it with the blood of Jesus. And every time something come up, you cast it. That's not my thought no more. I no longer will walk with that. I no longer will walk under the influence of that. I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. When you do that, now you win it. Now the kingdom of God, you are overpowering the force of darkness that has held you captive. No way. You should say no more. Today, you drew the line, a line of faith. You drew the faith line. No more. Sometimes you do things. And I think some of us, you know, sometimes the preachers are the worst. Some of you may be a preacher that I'm speaking to. You try to teach things. You try to do things to try to kill that guilt, to try to override. nope, wrong. You're already forgiven. You're going to have to forgive yourself. And you're going to have to rest in the finished works of what Jesus did and not what you trying to do to prove that I'm all right with the Lord. No, no. Look, I have not gotten very far when I wanted to do that, but this was a little bit more prophetic than it was just, it was teaching and some prophetic here. I love you. I thank God for you. My time is up. But I do have a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. So when I finish this lesson, it will be uploaded to. If you don't have Grace Online Bible School, you can download it. And if you have an Android phone or iPhone, you know, whatever your provider of a podcast you have, look for Grace Institute Online Bible School, and this lesson will be uploaded so you can listen to it again. Feed your faith over and over and over. Why keep listening to it over and over? Because that's how you're going to be able to identify that enemy. That's how the Holy Spirit is going to be able to show you, this is it. This is what you got to do. This is, you're going to know. Amen. And so I love you. I thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow. We love you. Bye-bye, everyone.